Our scripture reading will be 2 Kings 5:1-14. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because though he was the Lord had given him victory in Aram, he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken capture a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl had from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 servants, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels, and gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "I am God. Can I kill and bring back life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? You have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Now Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Phosphora, the rivers of Damascus, better than any waters of Israel? Can't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as a man of God he had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like the young boy. May the Lord add a blessing to this reading. We'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning. We just thank you for this message, your written word. We ask you that you fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning, and that you open our hearts and our minds, and have the message be special to each one of us, and that it will touch us, and that we will be able to take something special and add it to our lives, and that we will be able to walk closer with thee and be closer to thee in our everyday lives. We thank you again for your written word. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
People have asked and still ask to see extraordinary and supernatural signs and wonders, either because they are tired of ordinary things and the extraordinary excites them and entertains them, or because they have doubts about their faith and belief. In the formation of clouds, they may see a face and call it a supernatural revelation. And I've heard in the news, or have heard people say, oh, Jesus was seen in the clouds. The formation of the clouds were exactly like the face of Jesus. And they will even claim that their life changed because they looked at the cloud. My question, though, is the Creator who created the clouds and the universe speaks to us every day through the clouds. You don't have to look at a formation of a cloud to believe in God. Then you have others who may see the face or a face in a slice of toast and claim that it is the face of Jesus. I just saw that the other week, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, someone had seen the face of Jesus on a slice of toast. Now please, someone tell me, that are we going crazy or what? Is the devil now using jokes, or he's sort of playing games with our minds? Yes, he is. You see the face of Jesus on the toast, slice of toast, and you are all of a sudden excited. Well, God created the toast. God created everything. And we can't believe in God, but we believe in the toast picture. Others will claim that they are able to, by reading palms, tea leaves, channeling, or communicating with the dead, give extraordinary messages. Even many Christians and other religious people, when they think of God, they think of extraordinary things and supernatural acts. I've been reminded that God has promised to perform miracles. And yet I've been told that, where are His miracles? I've been praying for such a long time for healing and I've not been healed. I've been praying for such a long time for my health to improve, or my family to find a better housing, or whatever. And they are waiting for those signs and miracles so they can believe in God. Like the parting of the sea, the burning bush that won't burn up, or someone walking on the sea, or Jesus feeding thousands of people. Yes, these are amazing and extraordinary events. God is all-powerful, amazing. God does all kinds of amazing things. But the truth is that God uses ordinary things to do extraordinary things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, we read, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Jesus fed thousands of people, but He used the few ordinary slices of fish and pieces of bread of a simple, ordinary young man to do it. Jesus did not bring down fish, or could have done. When the Jewish people were traveling in the desert, He would bring down food from heaven to feed them. And do you think they really, really believe and surrender their lives to Him? When they asked for meat, God gave them meat to eat. And yet, they just continued. But when there were maybe 5,000 or 10,000 people who had come for a meeting, Jesus was preaching, and they were hungry, and it was at night, or almost night, he used few pieces of bread and few fish, ordinary fish, ordinary bread, given to him or brought to the meeting place by an ordinary young boy. And Jesus did his miracle once again, feeding 10,000 people. From cover to cover in the Bible, we see God using ordinary people to do his work. He chose a young shepherd boy named David to be the king of Israel. We see that in Samuel First Samuel chapter 16. Gideon was a farmer, but God chose him to deliver Israel. Abraham from the city of Ur was an ordinary man who became the father of many nations. Amos was a herdsman and also took care of sycamore fig trees, but became a prophet. And we see Jesus choose Peter, John, Andrew, and James, ordinary fishermen, who became his apostles, and Christ used them to build his church. The story in 2 Kings 5, verses 1 to 14, is another example of how God works in ordinary experiences of life. Naaman was a Syrian general who was a great man, honored and respected for his military successes. He was a hero to the people, but there was one problem with him. He was a leper. He suffered from the terrible disease that made him a social outcast. People avoided him. His future was not hopeful at all. The disease would get worse and worse. It is at this point that we see God act in ordinary ways. God works through ordinary people, for sure. A young slave girl enters the story. She had been captured in Israel and brought to Syria, where she served Naaman's wife. She was a nobody in that time, a less than ordinary person in their thinking. However, she had a word of hope. She knew about someone that could save Naaman's life. She knew about this prophet in Israel. If only Naaman could see him, he might be healed. It was good that Naaman did not ignore or dismiss the advice of this slave girl and the servant who talked to him. He listened and gave them the benefit of the doubt that might be God speaking to him. This young girl was a slave, was only told to go there, do this, wash this, and attend to this and that. And she didn't even have the right, really, to agree or disagree. She always had to do what she was told. And yet when God put it in her heart to share this wonderful news that God could help this man, she obeyed. You may feel sometimes that you are only an unskilled, ordinary person doing a job that almost anyone can do. And who am I to speak to someone else about God? Who am I to teach Sunday school? Who am I to sing in the choir? Who am I? I'm nobody. And yet, in the eyes of God, you are more than just nobody. You are somebody that He created, and He is willing to use you. You see, God did not choose great warriors to lead
a nation.
God did not choose great theologians to become the father of the two big nations, or at least the nations of that now are in the news all the time. God chose a man somewhere around Iraq, up there in the city of Ur, to bring him down to the land, the promised land, and then use him to become the father of these nations. God works through ordinary events, the Bible says. Naaman came to the prophet Elisha's house with a great display of horses and chariots and great gifts. Maybe he felt he could buy his healing. Elisha did not even come out to meet Naaman, but he sent his servant Gehazi to tell him what to do. It was a simple, ordinary task. Go take a bath 7 times in Jordan. Naaman was actually upset. He had some elaborate ritual and special religious task. Sad to say that these days people are looking for these great healers. People today are asking to see people who will perform big signs and miracles. They ask to listen to something that is extraordinary. They are asked to use this or that to be healed. And those who produce these demands or programs or things are always very popular. And they are always almost worshipped by people because they bring out themselves as the great healers. Here you had a great prophet who did not even want to come out. He was not important. What was important was the message that came from God. What is important today is what God can do and is able to do in our lives. What is important is not whether I have the power to heal, whether I have the power to change things, because I don't, and no one has these powers. And those who claim to have these powers are only sinning against God. And I know this is not popular, and I know people will disagree with me, and yet I know for sure, and we all know, that unless God does the miracle, nothing happens. He did not expect this. He would not do it, period. He left angry and said, "We have better rivers in Syria. Why would I wash myself here?" Once again, his ordinary servants challenged him. It wasn't his advisors or the king that came and told him. It was his ordinary servants that came and challenged him. They said, "If the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" Today, this verse is very important to remember. People who want to be saved, people who want to go to heaven, are not willing to accept the simple message of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. And all it takes is for us to humble ourselves and receive that message and then obey the message and go to Jesus to be washed with his blood. So Naaman did go down and dipped himself 7 times, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy, the Bible says. Now, washing 7 times in Jordan was not an extraordinary act. just a simple one. But God walked through this simple act. Washing yourself in a dirty river does not change you. And yet, if God says it will change you, it will change you. Being baptized in our baptistry does not change anyone. And yet, when God changes you, and God gives you a new life, a new beginning, you'll be more than willing to go through the waters of baptism. It's just obedience. Sometimes God is not in the earthquake, or wind, or thunder, but in an ordinary, still, small voice. We expect God to act in extraordinary ways, a miraculous healing, ending of a war, and all kinds of other things may excite us. Yes, God does work in extraordinary ways and events, but God works also in not so spectacular ways. God may deal with us through ordinary events like reading the Bible, prayer, worship, or through a conversation with friends. Very often I've realized in my past and even more today, that even when I read books or ask questions or read articles trying to find an answer, I can't be satisfied with the answers that men give. And yet when I'm there and praying, I just lower my head and close my eyes and I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, I can't figure this out. I have this question. And before I finish my statement, as if God is speaking to my mind, I receive the answer. I don't know whether that happens to you, but it happens to me when I'm praying. Not every time, not always, but sometimes before I finish my request to God, somehow my heart is satisfied with the answer that comes into my mind, through my mind to my heart. We expect God to act in extraordinary ways. Now, who gave this word of hope to Naaman? It was not a king that gave this good news. It was not a religious leader who told him what to do. It was just an ordinary slave girl, and God worked through her. Later, when Naaman had been told to wash in the Jordan River 7 times, he was angry. And he was not going to do it, we see. Again, ordinary servants went to him and persuaded him to try it. Not the military leaders, not his trusted advisors, not his family. No, it was his servants, the nobody people of his day. God used servants to speak to Naaman. Sometimes as we seek to know the will of God, we go to the great religious leaders to get answers. We'll listen to seminary professors and read famous religious writers. I remember what happened once. I had a book which I liked. And I gave it to a person and I said, you may enjoy reading this book. See, what do you think of this? After about a month or so, maybe 2 months, I didn't hear from this person, never made any comments. I asked the person, have you read the book? And the person said, no, no, no. I called the office of this well-known person, theologian or evangelist, and I told them, and they said, no, no, don't read that book. It's terrible. And so she was satisfied. And this is a small little example. And yet, there are many who will come and say to me, Pastor, I just listened to this program, or I called this, or I went to the internet, and I checked all the messages, and now I'm more confused than ever before. I believe the best person to answer your questions is God.
And I believe when you pray to God, tell Him that you can't trust Pastor Joseph, you can't trust Billy Graham, you can't trust, because they are human beings. They may make a mistake and give me the wrong answer. Lord, please help me. Tell me who is right. But even better, Lord, tell me what is right, not who is right. So we must go to the source of all truth. We expect God to work through great religious leaders. Yet often God works through ordinary people, mothers, fathers, children, friends. The mechanic at the garage, or the sales clerk in the store. They may have the answer to your question, either by what they say, or how they talk, or their smile. Just trust that God will give you the answer. We must realize, we must understand that God can and does work through anyone at any time. Maybe God will choose to work through us, through you, this morning, today, or in the future. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I love this verse. First of all, because it speaks of unschooled and uneducated people, and I put myself in that category. And secondly, because when people looked at these people, they knew that they were with Jesus. You see, it was not how they explained prophecies. It was not how they explained the future. It was not because they were able to interpret the Gospels well. It was not because they could tell about the future or whatever, about creation. It was because they were glowing, they were reflecting Christ in their life. And I believe that's what was happening with these slaves. I believe this slave girl was glowing with honesty, sincerity. That is why Naaman could not resist her. God works through ordinary acts of obedience, the Bible says. Here is the heart of the matter. Would this rich, powerful, respected commander do what Elisha commanded him to do? Would he trust his word? Would he simply obey and do it? He had the power to even kill Elijah. He had the power to go back to his home and die as a leper. And yet, because he was obedient and because he was convicted by God's word through the slaves, he obeyed. And because he obeyed, he was healed. And I believe all God wants from us is our obedience. If He had looked at me and my gifts and my charismas and my abilities, I would still be doing nothing. If God looked at you the way you are, and who, if you are trusting on your abilities and your gifts, you will do nothing. But if you say, I'm nothing, Lord, use me, then God will do miracles through you. God can take a fisherman, a smelly fisherman, and make a cornerstone, if you wish, of the church, or a great evangelist. God can take Moses. And, you know, I mean, studying these people, I realized that God had a habit of choosing shepherds. I don't know why. Do you know why God was using? Well, David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd at that time, and many others were shepherds. And then Jesus Now, when Jesus was born, the angels went to the shepherds and told them to come and worship Jesus. And I was thinking this morning while I was sitting there, and I said, I know what it is. Smart man. I said, because they are used to dealing with sheep. And they know how to communicate with sheep. And they know how the sheep go astray all over the place. And I know that the shepherd has to make sure that all the sheep are there and are fed. I said, no wonder God was using experienced people to do His work. Now, He could have chosen a great priest. All He knew how to do is shout loud and wear beautiful clothes and travel as if He was a king. It wouldn't work. God chose people who had been experienced in leading sheep. And the Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone our own ways. And He, our great shepherd, is our leader. Well, to His credit, this powerful commander humbled himself and went and washed in the Jordan. Through that ordinary act of obedience, he was healed. Will you obey? Will we obey? Will you surrender your will to God? I know it is hard to do it. We often rebel. But will we trust God enough to obey? Here is what can happen if we obey. In the simple act of obedience, God can speak to us, renew us, change us, and heal us. Will we have faith enough to trust Him? Sometimes God will act in extraordinary ways in our lives. But very often, God will act through ordinary people, ordinary events, in the ordinary act of obedience. You may feel that you are in an ordinary person and you don't have much to offer, and yet God may have great plans for you. Are you willing to be used by God? I hope you are. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for being so loving and compassionate, for choosing the nothings of this world to demonstrate Your power and do extraordinary things. And yet, Lord, You do that because there's nothing that is nothing to You. Every human being that You've created is a very important soul and can become a very important tool, instrument in Your hands, if we only obey and allow You to lead us, guide us, direct us. Be with each one of us today. Help us to really understand Your message. Your message is that You love each one of us, and You want us to be washed in Your precious blood, Jesus, and healed from the leprosy of sin. May God help each one of us this morning. In Your blessed name I pray, Lord. Amen.